And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This morning we're going to be talking about the idea of believing or having faith. And this is also a part of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we look at the steps of becoming a Christian, we see that the Bible will teach these various aspects that lead unto salvation. Last Sunday, we talked about the idea of hearing. These lessons will be on our webpage, and if you missed last Sunday, you can tune in to that and listen to it on the internet. But we talked about hearing the Word of God and the importance of hearing God's Word. Today we're going to be talking about belief, that is, faith in God, and how important it is for us to believe. When we look to the idea of faith as it occurs in the Word of God, it's important that we understand that it's one of the most fundamental topics from cover to cover in the Bible. And it's important that we understand that faith is absolutely necessary for salvation. You may recall the great text in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In the book of John, chapter 8 and in verse 24, our Lord Himself said, "I say therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Now what we're studying and thinking about, we're talking about faith that comes from hearing God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 7, chapter 10 beginning at verse 13. Romans chapter 10 beginning then at verse 13. The text says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we discussed and talked about last time, the idea of hearing God's Word, it has to do with understanding God's Word. Understanding God's Word has to do with your willing to submit to believing that word and obeying that word. When we look at Mark chapter 16, we find that Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Go preach the gospel to all creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." So the great commission of Jesus Christ to His apostles was that He would go, that they would go and teach the gospel so that people would hear the gospel and that people would then therefore believe the gospel and obey it. When we consider the idea of believing God's Word, I think a simple question would be, do you really believe God's Word? Well, Abraham did. And we see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's interesting when we study the life of Abraham. He is one of the great Bible characters, specifically of faith in God. This is but a snippet of an incident, a very important historical event in the time of Abraham as recorded in verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises were offering up his only begotten son. If I might just stop just for a moment. Notice the text says, by faith, Abraham. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. Go back and read the text in the book of Genesis, and you will see that God spoke to Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, he told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. Well, Abraham heard that. What did Abraham do? He understood what God wanted him to do. He obeyed Abraham, and it is therefore said that Abraham had faith. He obeyed God. The text goes on to say in verse 18, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from whom he also received him back as a type. We see then this fact that Abraham did indeed believe what God said and obeyed what God said. So if we was to ask the question, did Abraham believe God's word? Yes. What did he do? He obeyed what God commanded him to do. What is said of Abraham? That he had great faith. So the question is for each of us, do we have that kind of faith? Do we really believe God's word? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says, and for this reason we constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So that there's no misunderstanding. The gospel of Jesus Christ involves these basic fundamental steps. You need to hear God's word. God's word needs to be preached to you. God's word needs to be taught to you. You need to learn God's word. And when you hear that word, it will produce something in you. It will produce either a lack of understanding or a lack or unwillingness to listen and obey, or it will produce an understanding, an appreciation, and you will obey what God says. You'll believe it. You accept it. So the choice of believing resides in the person that hears. So each person that hears the word of God makes a choice. So when we think about faith, faith is used in four basic ways in the Bible. The first way that it is used as the sum total of God's word. And we see that in the book of Jude, verse 3. Verse 3 says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now what you see in that particular context is this word faith is used, but it is used to represent the sum total of all that God says. A second way is a miraculous spiritual gift. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 and 9, there are nine miraculous gifts that are mentioned. One of those is faith. We learn from Jesus, he told his disciples that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it would be so. That's great faith. Well, there was a miraculous faith that was a gift of God, and I would assume that if so desired and necessary, a mountain could be thrown into the sea with that faith. There is a third faith that is used in Scripture, and that is a non-saving faith. And this is demonstrated to us in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we find some Jews, ruling Jews, and the text says, verse 42, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him, that they should be put, or lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." I think when we look at that particular text, we'd all agree, the text says, they believed in Him. But they were unwilling to confess Him. Certainly no one would take the position, would they, that these people were saved? But yet they believed. We find a fourth way, and that is saving faith. The kind of faith that is mentioned in one of the great texts of the Bible, John chapter 3 and in verse 16. The Word of God says there, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Later in this same text, the text says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." This is one of the great texts to identify and see how God defines His own terms. In verse 36, this idea of believing in the Son also means obeying the Son. So what we see is faith used in these four basic ways. But when we study a little bit further, when we question the idea, are we saved by faith? Are we saved by faith only in Christ? This is a very popular doctrine among religious folks today. The idea of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the idea of calling upon the name of the Lord, and at the point of faith and prayer, one can be saved. Does the Bible teach this kind of idea of faith only in Christ? Well, when we stop to consider faith in Christ, what are we talking about, faith in Christ? Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. Go back to the John 12 passage that we looked at just a moment ago. John 12, verses 42 and 43. And for context, let's read that one more time. The text says, "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." Now, what is significant about this great text is the fact that these men did believe. They believed in Jesus. And I would suggest to us that there are a lot of people in this old world, if you ask them the simple question, "Do you believe in Jesus?" they would probably say yes. And we've mentioned before in other lessons that even those of Islam, Muslims, they believe in Jesus. And yet we find in the book of James, chapter 2, James says, "Do you believe that there is one God? You do well. The devils also believe and tremble." Well, what is the difference in the devils believing and you believing? You see, for if faith only saves us, then the devils are saved, right? Well, there are degrees of believing. We know that Jesus talked about those who had little faith. Jesus talked about those who had great faith. Jesus talked about those who had no faith. What we talk about when we're talking about faith, these rulers understood that if they acted out what they believed in their heart, they would be cast out of the synagogue. The text says they wanted the approval of men more than God. So what did they do? The key, what did they do? Nothing. They kept their faith to themselves, unwilling to confess Him. You remember what our Lord said about that? If you will not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. You see, faith is this believing something to action. There are lots of people that may claim to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but how many actually obey Him, believing in Him? These folks did not obey. We referred to James chapter 2. I want us to go there now and look at this just briefly, because it's important for us to understand the significance of this faith believing process. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. The text says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fella, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. The only time in the Bible that faith and alone occur together, and yet the text teaches that you're not saved by faith alone. In fact, it's right the opposite. Faith is something that you believe, but then faith is something you do. We demonstrate our belief and our faith in how you live your life. There are a lot of folks that would say, "Lord, Lord." But as the Lord would say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say?" So faith, belief, is something that is cultivated, produced in your heart by hearing God's Word. That He is the Son of God. And He is your Lord. And He is your Savior. So what hearing the Word of God does in producing faith, it is the catalyst by which then you do what He said do. So a person that just says the words, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and yet does nothing else, that faith is dead because it has no works. That was James' whole point. Well, are we saved by faith only in Christ? Understand something. Faith only in Christ means this. You don't repent of your sins. We haven't talked about that yet, have we? You don't confess Jesus Christ. If you're going to say faith only, let's say faith only. You're not baptized into Christ. Faith only. Or are we saved by faith in Christ? Faith in Christ is significant in Scripture. Let me demonstrate that for you. First of all, if you have faith in Christ, it comes as a result of what you hear. Again, Romans said, so then faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about who Jesus is? Well, the Word of God teaches us, as we read just a moment ago in John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you that you're going to die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So you must, as a result of hearing the gospel, you must accept what God says about Jesus. He is the Son of God. Question, do you believe that? Secondly, do you believe what He did? Well, the Bible teaches us in John 20, verses 30 through 31, that all of these things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So you go and you read the Bible, and there are lots of modernistic thinking. There are many denominational thinkings that read these great stories, and they want to minimize what is said. They want to minimize what was done, and they want to offer some kind of other explanation rather than it really was just like the Scripture says. When Jesus said, peace be still, and immediately, the water was like glass. Do you believe what He did? Do you believe what He said? In John 12, we find these very, very pointed words by Jesus Himself about the words He spoke. He says in verse 47, and if anyone hears My sayings, if... Remember last week's lesson about hearing? Some people don't hear. Some people don't listen. If anyone hears My sayings and does not keep them, what is assumed in that statement? If you hear My words, you will keep them. If you do not hear My words and you do not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now hang on what he says. He who rejects Me and does not receive My sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is will judge him at the last day. When you read the text, you'll find that in the day of judgment that the books will be open. I think there are at least two books. One is the book of life that has the names of the righteous. And then there's a book which is the law of God. And God will call us to judgment and He will open up the book and He will judge us according to His words. Verse 48. He who rejects Me and does not receive My saying has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on My own initiative, but the Father Himself who sent Me has given Me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told Me. So make sure that there's no misunderstanding. The words that we read that Jesus spoke, those words are the Father's words. Those words are the Son of God's words. And if you refuse to obey those words will judge you in the last day. And that word judge there in that context is condemn. So what is significant here that we're learning is the fact that everything that Jesus said was either a statement of fact, a promise, or a command. What a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Hebrew writer said. Why? To stand before the Creator of all things and him ask the question, "Why did you call me Lord, Lord, and you didn't do the things I said?" Do you believe in Christ? Do you really? Are you just saying the words? If you really believe in Christ, then you would repent of your sins. Because it is the hearing of God's Word that tells us, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We hear our Lord Himself saying, "I tell you nay, except you shall repent, you shall all likewise perish." You will confess Jesus as the Son of God. You will give your allegiance to Him because He offers unto you a way of salvation, a way to be forgiven. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. But you must obey Him. "If you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father." And you be baptized. Why in the world would you be baptized? Because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now what did Jesus say about hearing His sayings and obeying it not? His Word will judge you in the last day. Don't you understand that this book will be opened? And if you stand before God and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, He's going to ask you why you did not obey His Word. And what are you going to say? There won't be much you can say. The beauty of believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God is that He gives us hope of being forgiven. Hope of spending eternity with Him in heaven. As the song suggests, all things are ready. Our Lord, He came and He lived for us. He died for us. He arose from the dead for us. He ascended and is at the right hand of God for us. Those that are with Him are going to be saved. He's coming again. And He's going to receive His own unto Himself. And there we shall ever be with the Lord. But to only those who hear and believe and obey His Word. I've had folks say to me that sounds awful simple. And yes, it does. But it's one of the most difficult things that you'll ever do. Is submitting your will to His will. One last thought. How tough do you think it was when God told Abraham to go offer your son as a sacrifice? I can't imagine that. Look at your children. Would you have that much faith to take a child of yours and offer it to God? That's faith. Abraham was called the friend of God because of his great faith. Because he went and did what God told him to do. Can you come up this aisle this morning believing in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And do whatever He tells you to do for the rest of your life. What a blessing you will receive to also be called the friend of God because of your faith in Him. There's a lot of folks sitting in this audience today that believe Jesus is the Son of God. We're here all to encourage you. We're here to help you in any way we can to be faithful to the Lord. There'll be tough days ahead. You'll struggle at times. You'll fall at times. But Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll be there for you. And He'll lift you up. And you can try again. And you can do your best to serve Him with all of your heart. Question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ or not? Do you? If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come.